And again, we're continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week looked at patience, this week looking at kindness. And part of this is memorizing Galatians 5, 22 to 23. So I want to invite everyone to join along with me as we've been doing each week. I will continue to recite the fruit of the Spirit together, and hopefully we'll be able to memorize those as a church body. So if you're able, if you have it in front of you, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, would you join me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Great. Join with me in a word of prayer. We'll commit this time to the Lord, and then we'll jump into kindness. Well, Father God, we do come before you now and open up your word. We trust it to be true and pray that, God, it would transform us into the people you want us to be. So, God, as many of us probably have plenty going on today, I pray that you just help us set aside any distractions that we bring into this place, anything that is undone and needs to be done before we can be with family or friends. God, I pray that we could just set that aside as we spend some time looking at your word, and specifically kindness this morning. Lord, I pray that you would make this body of yours a place of kindness, both here and as we leave this place, Lord, the people we interact with, that you'd empower us to put on display your miraculous kindness that invites people into relationship with you. So, God, we commit this time to you and ask you to speak clearly to us through it. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this week, as I was thinking and praying about kindness, a story came to mind that goes all the way back to World War I, 1914. The war had really just begun. It was a few months old, and Christmas Day arrived. So it's Christmas. World War I is going on, and history records that on Christmas morning, the German soldiers came out of their trenches, started walking across the battlefield toward the Allied soldiers, and as they got close enough, they started shouting, "Merry Christmas," in the language that all the Allied soldiers could understand. Now, understandably, the Allied soldiers probably at this point are thinking this has to be some sort of trick. This is a trap. You know, the day before, they're literally shooting at one another, attacking each other. So they're pretty skeptical, but it proved to be true. It proved to be sincere. These German soldiers came across with gifts that they gave to the Allied soldiers. They wanted them to truly be blessed on Christmas morning. It says that they played soccer together. They laughed together. They spent the entire day hanging out together, German and Allied soldiers together. And that's really just a powerful expression of kindness, right? The bravery that must have taken to stand up and walk across the battlefield. You could assume almost that your enemy is going to be suspect and may start to shoot at you. But they got up, they went over, and they put on display this powerful act of kindness that I think sticks out in our minds because that's not really the norm today, right? Not that the kindness that we that people aren't kind, but it's just the standard of kindness that we see in our society. I think the way we interact with people in regards to kindness is more, if you're kind to me, then I'm kind to you, or we're kind to our friends, we're kind to our family. But this idea of a bold, brave, fearless sort of kindness, that's not seen as often. And as we look at Scripture, I think we'll see that God's kindness more closely relates to the kindness of these German soldiers than it does to the kindness we see in the world. God's kindness truly is brave and bold and fearless, and at Christmas especially, it's appropriate to think of the kindness of God as Jesus is given as a gift by God, and in a real way, God extends his hand into enemy territory and offers the gift of Jesus as an invitation for all people to be in right relationship with him. So I encourage you this week to keep kindness at the forefront of your mind as you think of the coming of Christ and all that he means for us. As I looked at Scripture this week, thinking about it, praying about it, I kind of boiled everything I found down to one sentence. I want to share that sentence with you today, and then we're going to look at it more closely. We'll break it apart, and hopefully it'll allow us to leave here with a deeper understanding of Holy Spirit kindness, the sort of kindness that we're to have. There are some slides this morning just to keep you engaged, a lot of information. So let me share this with you, and we'll break it down. That's what I found. Holy Spirit kindness is any expression of mercy and love that graciously invites the world into relationship with God through Jesus. Holy Spirit kindness is any expression of mercy and love that graciously invites the world into relationship with God through Jesus. Now, that is purposefully loaded full of meaning. We're going to look at it more closely. The scriptures that we'll use most frequently, Titus 3, Ephesians 2, and Romans 2. If you want to turn to one of those or mark each of those, you can do so. Titus 3, Ephesians 2, and Romans 2. They all speak about the kindness of God. The statement begins, Holy Spirit kindness. If you're here last week, we went through the same step, recognizing that our patience is really the Holy Spirit's patience living in us. It's the same this week. We have to acknowledge that this is Holy Spirit kindness. This is not the kindness that we knew before we were a follower of Christ. It's not the kindness of a non-believer. This is the kindness of the Holy Spirit living inside of a person. We truly embody the Holy Spirit, and it's His kindness that's on display in our life as we follow after Christ. This means that the believer has a kindness that is always tethered to God. It's always connected to God. It can't be separated because it's His kindness. We can't separate it from Him. Holy Spirit kindness will not and cannot offend God or damage our relationship with God. Now, you may think, how could my kindness offend God or damage my relationship with God? If I'm doing something that's kind, I don't think that's going to be offensive to God. Well, let me give an example. Suppose you have a friend who's getting married. You've been lifelong friends. You love them. You think the person they're going to marry is a great person. They're a great fit. It's going to be a great marriage. You're in support of it. You've been invited to be in the wedding. You're a groomsman. You're a bridesmaid. And you find out that their bachelor party, bachelorette party, is going to be one of these party buses, right? They're going to take a party bus around to a few different bars, and their final destination is going to be a place that you know with almost 100% certainty is going to be an environment where you are going to be offending God or harming your relationship with God. Either due to what you have to say, to what you will see, to what's happening around you. You know, for one reason or another, that environment is not going to be a place where you can sit with good conscience in relationship to God. So now you have a predicament, right? You can be kind to your friend. You want to support them. You want to love them. You want to do what's encouraging to them. So you can go along and make some compromise and offer them an act of kindness. Or you can say, hey, you know, it's your choice, but based on my own convictions, I'm not able to participate in this. I can't go with you. It's just my personal decision. So we upset them in that process, right? That's maybe offensive to them. So you can see the tension there where we want to be kind to someone, but it could hurt our relationship with God. I think someone who doesn't have faith, that's not a hard decision. If they're happy, we're happy. There's reasonable compromises that can be made, but for the person who has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, it's going to direct us away from that. Holy Spirit kindness will never follow a friend into sin. It's going to live in a place where God can be glorified. And with that understanding, there are environments where we can be a light and a witness to God in powerful ways and put His kindness on display, but sometimes it goes too far. The Holy Spirit's never going to let us go too far with that. The sentence continues, Holy Spirit kindness is any act of mercy. So Holy Spirit kindness is merciful. God's kindness always works to relieve suffering or to restore what's been broken. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. It says this, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now you can see how that began. God, who is rich in mercy, reached out to us, right? His kindness, the kindness that is stored up for those who believe, it flows out of God's mercy. We were in this place of suffering. We were in this place of hardship, a place of disconnect from God. And because he is merciful, God reached out in his kindness to make us right with Christ. Another one would be Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Titus 3, 4, and 5, it says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." We see there any kindness we've received from God, we did not receive it because we earned it. We didn't receive it because we deserved it or because of righteous things we had done. We received it because God is merciful. In his mercy, he extended his kindness to us. So we can think of our own lives. Are we putting this mercy on display? Is our kindness fueled by mercy? Is our kindness taking us into hard-to-reach places where there's suffering or there needs to be some brokenness restored? Or is our kindness only going as far as the people who already love us, the people that it is easy for us to be kind to? I think if we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, we're going to see that God is going to take us to people and to places that are difficult, that may not be right in our comfort zone, but that is where he's going to use his kindness to bring restoration and healing. The statement continues on that it's also loving, right? It's an act of mercy or love. Kindness is evidence of love. Last week, if you're here, Dan Lawan was here. He's a representative of E4 Project and the ministry in Africa. And he highlighted a new initiative that they're after, these wheelchairs. So you could buy a wheelchair for $65, and the wheelchair will go to someone in Africa who's currently immobile. So right now they can't get to work, they can't go visit friends, they can't get around, they're not able to walk well. So you could purchase a wheelchair, $65, and make them mobile. Now, why would someone do that? Why would we give 65 of our own hard-earned dollars to go towards some person we've never met, we probably never will meet, so that they can get around? Well, I think it doesn't take a follower of Christ. You could be of any religion or no religion and understand that that's just an expression of love. That's just something we do to show that we care for people. You see, God has designed us in a way, God has wired us in a way that we have concern for humanity just because we share that commonality. The follower of Christ takes that reality that we're wired that way and we credit it to God. He gets the glory for that. So when we do something for it, it's really God's kindness on display in our life. But we see that it's really the love for others that compels us to do that kind act. You could look at Titus 3:4 again. It says, "When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us." God's act of sending Jesus to Bethlehem, baby Jesus, he was sent as an act of love, right? Ephesians 2:4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ." Rich in mercy, and because of his great love, this act of kindness was fueled by God's love for us. Love always travels with kindness. If we really love someone, we're going to be kind to them as we go. Holy Spirit kindness is merciful and loving. So parents of children, we have to ask ourselves, are we showing mercy and kindness, or mercy and love to our children as an expression of kindness? For all of us, do we have space and time in our schedules for God to lead us to places and to people where we can do acts of kindness, acts of mercy and love? Or are our schedules so full that really God has no freedom to lead us out beyond the people that we see just on a day-to-day basis? Do we have resources that we say, Lord, these resources are for you to use how you want to use them? And if we have that, God's going to show us how we can use those resources to bring mercy and love to people around the world. Continuing on. Holy Spirit kindness is any expression of mercy and love that graciously invites the world. It graciously invites. This means that people do not have to earn our kindness. People do not deserve our kindness. It's really, if we remember, this is not even our kindness to decide who should receive it and who should not. This is God's kindness living inside of us. So people don't have to earn or deserve God's kindness as we put that into action in our own lives. This time of year, I think of the example that parents often say to their children. They'll say, you know, little Sammy, you better be good or Santa's going to put a lump of coal in your stocking, right? You got to behave or you're going to get this lump of coal. Now, imagine if this five-year-old child really comes out, reaches his arm into his stocking and finds a lump of coal. He's probably, tears are going to start welling up. He's going to not know why a little puppy wasn't jammed in there that he had asked for. He doesn't understand that. And imagine whoever Santa is in your house, he comes in and he says, hey, you earned that lump of coal this year. It's what you deserved. We just don't do that, right? We give a gift. It's Christmas. We understand that. But the world seems to operate with this understanding that there's an equal exchange. You get what you deserve. You treat me with respect, I'll treat you with respect. You're kind to me, and I'll be kind to you. What a huge opportunity that presents to us as followers of Christ to completely reverse that and to show kindness to people even when they may not deserve it. People like us who have been saved by grace and understand the beautiful power of God's grace, we get to shell out this kindness in a variety of different ways that the world does not understand. And the idea is that that kindness, as we reach out to people in grace, it's going to pull them in. The kindness that's offered in grace, it allows relationships to be restored. It allows broken relationships to be put back together. We have to remember the second part of this is that it's invitational, right? It graciously invites the world into relationship. Kindness always invites a response. Kindness begs for a response. At first, kindness, you know, it sounds like this virtue that's kind of fluffy and soft and tender, the icing on top of the cake. But with further thought, we'll see that kindness is really powerful. Kindness is amazingly strong. Kindness can break the walls of hostility. It can warm a relationship that's going cold. It can breathe new life into a relationship that is dying. Kindness has the capacity to truly be the foundation and the bedrock that's laid for a relationship to be brought back to full health. And we can look at Romans 2:4 for this. It says, "Do you show contempt for riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness was intended to lead you to repentance?" The last part of that. Do we realize God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance? You see, their kindness has a lot of purpose behind it. It's intended to accomplish something in our life. It's intended to bring us back to God, into right relationship with him. As we see his kindness on display day after day, it's inviting a response from us. As Jesus lays in the manger and we hear all that comes with Jesus, who's going to be the Savior of the world, that's begging for a response from everyone who witnesses who he is. So maybe there's a standoff in your marriage, butting heads, things just aren't going well, you're frustrated, you're discouraged, Maybe there's that person in the community that you have a hard time even talking to. They just drive you nuts. It's difficult to speak a word to them. Maybe your children, you're having one of those days when you feel like all you're doing is correcting them. Stop this, stop that. You're doing anything but being kind to them is how you feel, at least. How do we break into that? Well, in love, we reach out in kindness with a kind act or a kind word, and it is going to immediately invite a response from them. It's going to invite gratitude from them, right? So our small child, who we've been saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do this, moment after moment, hour after hour, we take 10 minutes, we take 15 minutes, and we sit down with them on the carpet, and we play with them, we interact with them, we initiate this act of kindness, and it's going to invite them to give a response. For your marriage, that's you're on a week of just butting heads, you can still take up the dishes, you can still help with the laundry, you can do this act of kindness that's fueled by love, and it's going to invite some form of gratitude or a positive response. For the person in town that you may not get along with, you don't have to pursue them and be best friends with them, but maybe as you see them in the grocery, you give a sincere smile or a hello, you say something kind, you don't just turn your back and walk the other way or give a dirty look. You offer out some expression of kindness that is going to show them that you're willing to see some restoration and healing in that place. And as we think about this, who should receive that invitation? Do we give that invitation to everyone? Is there anyone who's not worthy to receive that? Maybe someone who's really hurt you in your life? Maybe some bad things have happened. Is anyone not worthy to receive the kindness that we can offer? The statement says, Holy Spirit kindness is any expression of mercy and love that graciously invites who? The world into relationship with God. Jesus came to save the world. God's kindness is for the whole world. We've touched on this idea before. This means in our personal lives, there's no individual that we can say is not worthy to receive God's kindness. Remember, this isn't our kindness. This is God's kindness living inside of us. We're not in a position, we don't have the authority to say that that person has no claim on my kindness, or they're not allowed to receive my kindness. God's kindness is for all people, and he wants to use us. So saint or sinner, believer or non-believer, friendly person or the rude person, poor person or rich person, Middle Eastern person or European person, it does not matter. God sent his son for all people to receive his kindness. John 3:16, which many of you know, for God sent his son to save the world, right? 1 John 4:14, the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires that all people be saved. God wants to use us in this world. He wants to use us to reach people. He wants to use us to see people come to faith and to help renew and restore relationships. But if we're going to withhold a kindness from people, he's not able to accomplish that. Now, we have to understand that if we carry the title Christian, we're associated with Jesus, right? So if we carry the title of Christian and we decide that this person is not going to receive my kindness, I'm done with them, the relationship is dead, is broken, no more. If we set that off and we carry the title of Christian, they're going to assume something about the God that we serve. They're going to associate us with Jesus, and they should associate us with Jesus, but it's not going to communicate the Jesus that's on display in Scripture. The Jesus that's on display in Scripture is continually kind to people, even when they don't deserve it, and that's what he's called us to do, to be imitators of himself, to show this kindness that could draw people in. So if we're intentionally withholding kindness when we have the opportunity or the ability to show them kindness, I think we're really interfering with what God is trying to accomplish through us. And what are we inviting them to? We graciously invite the world to relationship with God, right? We're inviting them in to relationship with their Creator. God's kindness invites people into relationship with himself. It's going to maintain healthy relationships. As I said, it's going to restore broken relationships. This is really one of the primary purposes of the kindness that the Holy Spirit puts on display, is to renew and restore relationships. Romans 2:4, you could use it here again. God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. Remember, God's kindness is one of the tools that he uses to draw people in to right relationship. This week, I read a story about a Muslim man in the Middle East who was fighting with Al-Qaeda a few years back, was on the front lines with Al-Qaeda. Long story short, this man despised Christianity. He said, if anyone would tell me that I was going to become a Christian, I probably would have executed them just because of how he was raised up, how he was trained. And his wife ended up getting very sick. They didn't know if she was going to make it, very ill. So he's worried, he's concerned about his wife. And he had a cousin who had moved to Canada. He moved to Canada and he became a Christian. So this man hears that his cousin, back in the Middle East, that his wife is suffering with a pretty severe illness. So he decides, I'm going to give him a call. I'm going to call him and just ask if I can pray for his wife. He knows that he's probably not going to receive this. He's not going to be very, very receptive because he despises the Christian faith. But he calls him. And as he calls him, he asks if he can pray, just as he expected. At first, this man's like, no, like, why would you even call me? He was shocked that his cousin had the courage to call him. But over time, after talking, he allows this man to pray for his wife. And he said 2 days later, his wife was well. And he had nothing to credit except for the prayer that this man had made for his wife. He knew it wasn't his own faith. He hadn't been doing anything. He had to credit it to this man's faith in Jesus Christ and the prayer that he made. So, speeding the story along, this man has given his life to Christ. He's left all the people that he was hanging with. He now leads Bible studies in his own home. He leads prayer meetings in his own home. And he says that he really does fear that the people he used to run around with are going to catch up with him and take his life. But he says, I trust God. That is an amazing expression of kindness that has completely transformed a relationship. We see, you know, it's an exceptional example, but it's true. God's kindness is able to restore relationships. We see it on a smaller scale day to day, right? We might not see someone come to faith in Christ because of some act of kindness that we do, but they're still going to maybe have a relationship restored in their own family. Or maybe they'll be one step closer to understanding the kindness of God. That was a small act of kindness that probably took someone 10 minutes to pick up the phone, to speak a prayer over a sick woman, and God took care of the rest. And now a Christian hater, God-despising person is a follower of Christ who's literally willing to give up his own life for the sake of Christ, all because of this act of kindness. It really puts on display the statement that we're looking at from beginning to end. Every part of the statement is embodied in that example. Holy Spirit kindness, any expression of mercy and love that graciously invites the world, any person, into relationship with God through Jesus is exactly what that man was doing. The final two words, through Jesus. The whole thing really is useless without Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the giver of life. We know he's the only way to God, the Father. It's all through Christ that it's possible. Galatians 2:20 says, when we come to Christ, we are crucified. It says, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's a strange reality to comprehend. Our old life is dead. Christ now lives in us. The Spirit of God lives in us and through us. And this means that as we do any act of kindness towards any person, that we can't take any credit for it because it's not our action, really. It's Christ living through us. It's his grace that allows us to be kind to people in that way. So if someone shows you gratitude for an act of kindness, if someone is appreciative for what you've done, that gives you an opportunity to say, hey, I'm just passing on what I've received from God. I'm just passing on the love that I've received from Christ. This isn't me, myself, trying to accomplish something. This is just me being really an avenue for God to work. And if they have no understanding of that, they don't believe that to be true, it opens an opportunity for some dialogue about who Christ is and the kindness that he offers. So through Christ, we cannot leave him out of it. It's really him at work in our life. And this week, as we celebrate Christmas, really we celebrate God's kindness and the person of Jesus, encourage you again, just be mindful of the amazing gift that God has given to us. Maybe you've never responded to this invitation. God has done this powerful act of kindness by sending his only son, and it begs for a response. The gospel, if you read through it, it begs every reader to respond in some way. That response is up to you, obviously. You may reject it, and that's your freedom, but you may choose to receive it, and maybe you want to know the love and the joy and the peace of Christ in a more powerful way. Encourage you to communicate that to God, to invite him to really transform who you are. Maybe you're struggling with kindness in your own life towards an individual. Bring that before the Lord. Ask him how he wants you to interact with that person. Ask him how you could show kindness towards that person. Maybe you don't know where God wants to lead you or who he wants to lead you to. Invite him to show you those people and what he would have you do that could bring glory to his son, Jesus. So as we close this morning, as we always do, I want to give you some time just to be in prayer with God, speaking with him. And again, that's up to you as to where you're at. Maybe you're praying for a person, a situation, where God's leading you. But spend a couple minutes with the Lord, and I'll close this with prayer this morning. Well, Father God, you know more than we do just the reality that this week is, for most people here, about to get really busy, running around to see family and friends, which is a great blessing. We're grateful for it. But God, I pray that you would just give us the time to contemplate your kindness that's offered to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you would just put it on our heart to make a conscious decision as to where we stand in regards to this person, Jesus, and all that he has accomplished in the world as the Bible records it, that he lived perfectly faithful to you. God, that he went around showing amazing acts of kindness, going out of his way to heal the child of Jairus and stopping an entire crowd to heal this woman who just wanted to be made well, calling Zacchaeus out of a tree, a sinner and tax collector who people despised, and Jesus took the time to eat a meal with him. And it was that kindness that led them all to repentance. It's that kindness that led them to love you. So God, I pray that your kindness would truly lead us into repentance. And Lord, as your kindness is on display in our life, I pray that it accomplishes all that you want it to in our relationships with family, with friends, with our own children, that we would just be a people who are loving and merciful, and they would see that kindness and recognize that it's because of you that we're able to do it. So God, just fill us with your spirit, I pray, and this church body, that we could be led by your son Jesus and just bring glory to his name. We pray for your safekeeping this week as we travel. Pray for our relatives who will be traveling, that you just be with them, watching over us, and give us words to speak as we interact with our family and friends, and just use it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing about the goodness of the Lord, and we'll sing, O Holy Night.